City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Queercast show number 375. One hopes that we're recording.
Ha!
I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Steven Rader.
And God loves Nubians.
Not Nubians, Nubia. The lyric is Nubia. God loves Nubia, not Nubians.
Not Nubians. I like Les Nubians. That's a great band.
Les Nubians?
Yeah,
I'm
Les Nubians.
I'm not out of my tree.
I'm totally serious.
You should explain what the hell we're talking about.
Yes, we just walked out of the brand new Bailiwick production of Aida.
Aida!
Aida! Aida! I kept waiting for that number to happen. I don't know this. I did not know this
Aida,
musical at all
Aida,
going in. But
Madonna.
Obviously it's uber gay. Well, not really.
Well, not uber gay. But
Elton John, the Sir Elton John.
Sir Elton.
He happened to do the music, and later on in the show, I'm going to be talking with Scott Ferguson. He's a company member at the new Bailiwick.
Bailiwick Chicago,
and he's also the director of this project, and they have two really exciting projects I'm going on right now in rap that couldn't be more different. Fucking Men and Aida.
I know a lot about the Fucking Men, not a lot about Aida. Hey!
Yeah. I know you know a lot about Fucking Men, but how about the play?
Hey, but how about the play? But seriously, folks.
So we're going to be talking about that later on, but so are you in the middle of this summertime summer? I mean, do you like it when it's this hot?
I usually do, and now I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's something about this heat. It's like the South... Hi, my ride's here. It's like the South...
Your hog is here.
I've got to get on my hog.
I like that normally with two eggs over AZ.
I like somebody with traps on. They're not wearing a bike, riding a bike usually. I don't like that. It's like the South has followed us up.
Yeah, it
and all
has.
The bad stuff. What I love about Chicago is that they can take the cold, mm-hmm. and they can take the snow. But when it starts to get hot, they start to freak out. And then when you get those southern, like, those major storms, you know what I mean?
Right?
That happens from the heat that lasts for 20 minutes.
Yep.
People lose their minds here. I was talking to Alexandra Billings one day on the phone, and she looked out the window.
Who?
Our old podcasting
Who?
Buddy. Alex. And Alex said, she said, look outside.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. And she goes, it's really dark. It's the end of the world. I was like, Alex, this is a southern storm. It's going to come.
Yeah.
It's going to rain.
It's a
going,
Dixie storm.
It's going to be 20 minutes, and the devil's going to whip his wife, and we'll be done. You know what I mean?
Devil's going to whip his wife.
It'll be over. And people here lose their shit.
Yeah.
Because it's raining. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But what about you?
People can't
drive
in the rain here, though. We can drive in the snow, but people can't drive in the rain.
It's like
can't function in the rain.
It's like
here.
Everybody here is Elphaba. They're just fucking shit crazy over the fucking water.
Well, all the gays are Elphaba. I mean, you know, truly.
But
I
the green doesn't match my jams or whatever the hell they're wearing.
The green doesn't match my jams.
Do you know what's back? Dock Siders. Have you seen all these guys
wearing
docksiders?
Docksiders are totally back, and the duck shoes and
shut the fuck up.
Yep, docksiders are very trendy right now.
I lived through this crap.
I'm telling you, we're all the way back through the 80s.
If I have to put on a pair of parachute pants, someone's gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
If I have to go into a store called Merry-Go-Round,
yep,
someone's gonna get hurt.
I love going to the Merry-Go-Round. You could get so much for $15.
Remember, they only had that thing of cloth.
I do.
That was the door to the dressing room, and they would always pop their head and, "Hey, is it coming up?" Well, look, I'm right
here. Zip me in. Zip me in my parachute pants.
Oh my God,
breakdancing and.
If I get an OP jacket, wouldn't that be a little Ocean Pacific?
That would be great.
Jacket?
Little members only, little Ocean Pacific.
Oh,
OP.
God.
So I have felt like this has been a very creative week. I know that you and I had some conversations in the last show, but I got to see the new Joan Rivers documentary this week.
Amazing.
And it is something to behold. I have to tell you, it is brilliant, and she is funny, and it
I've
is
got
raw.
To see it.
And it is my top pick for Summer Madness.
I mean, you're all about the lesbian movies, and now you're on to the Jewish movie. What is this about?
I don't know. But here's the thing. I'm on jury duty, and we had a two-day hiatus. I can't talk about this jury. I wonder if you can podcast about a jury once the verdict comes in. I'll have to ask my judge about that.
How
or my
is
bailiff.
Rod doing? How is Mr.
I'm
how
not
is
on the
Blago
trial, but he is on my floor. I'm in a criminal jury, so he's on my floor of a 28-floor building.
Oh, you're
so,
hot.
Oh, yeah. He can't leave the building, you know, so he's in the... the cafeteria. He has to eat in the building. But I can go to the corner bakery, so I leave.
Oh.
But anyhow, hey, we've got lots of news. There's so much stuff going on. Mm. Argentina, speaking of...
Don't cry for
Avita.
Me.
I'm not crying for Argentina, but somebody should be crying for us, the United States.
I was wrong. Cry for me, Argentina. Cry for me.
Yeah, cry for us, Argentina. and Richard Knight Jr. taking us to the movies. So we'll be back. And Scott Ferguson in the show with Bailiwick Chicago.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
In a 5-4 decision, the D.C. Court of Appeals upheld the same-sex marriage law in the district. The marriage equality bill became law in March.
The trial of log cabin Republicans v. United States of America started July 13th with Daniel Woods, the GOP organization's attorney, saying that the federal government has no basis for maintaining Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The lawyers also said that gays and lesbians have been deprived the privilege of serving their country if they choose to be as candid and honest about their human nature as their heterosexual comrades are. However, U.S. Attorney Paul Freeborn countered that Log Cabin has no standing to sue on behalf of its members.
In Ohio, authorities are looking for the person who destroyed the only state historical marker for a member of the LGBT community. The marker recognizing Natalie Barney was knocked down in the city's Cooper Park. Barney, a lesbian writer and literary patron, was born in Dayton, Ohio in 1876, but mostly lived in Paris, France.
Stanley E. Williams, the founding artistic director of San Francisco's Lorraine Hansberry Theater, died July 2nd at the age of 60. Williams died just 2 months after his wife and business partner, Quentin Delaney Easter, passed away.
In Maine, a jury has awarded Edward Russell over $1 million in a sexual orientation discrimination trial against his ex-employer, ExpressJet Airlines. It's the largest award for such a case in the state's history. Russell claimed that a regional director made homophobic slurs about the company's gay employees.
In Idaho, transgender woman Catherine Carlson has been arrested and charged with strapping pipe bombs to her propane tank and setting her mobile home on fire. Apparently, the situation was rooted in a 2007 incident that resulted in Carlson having to provide her birth name, Daniel Carlson, even though she'd undergone gender reassignment surgery 30 years ago.
California Supreme Court Chief Justice Ronald George has stunned his colleagues by announcing that he is retiring. George, age 70, will officially step down January 2, 2011. The announcement gives California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger until September 16th of this year to nominate a successor. George is probably best known for his 2008 ruling that briefly allowed same-sex marriages throughout the state of California.
In Montana, the Helena School Board and parents are fighting over a new health curriculum that would teach the concept of gay sex to first graders. The curriculum would teach kindergartners proper anatomical names, first graders that two men can have sex with each other, and fifth graders about all the ways people have sex. An overflow crowd at a July 13 school board meeting included health educators who thanked the board for creating an innovative educational slate.
University of Illinois adjunct professor Kenneth Howell has been fired for lecturing that, according to certain Catholic tenets, gay sex is morally wrong. Catholicism holds that gays and lesbian desires are not sinful themselves, but that expressing them is.
In New York, police sergeants Dominic Coppola and Sean Gallagher will receive $175,000 and $125,000, respectively, after settling a lawsuit that accused Lieutenant Kieran Crow, a gay man, of fondling himself in front of them. Crow, who retired from the New York Police Department in 2008 after being found guilty of rubbing himself and wiggling his tongue at the sergeants, said that jock itch was the source of his behavior.
In Worcester, Massachusetts, authorities have charged gay activist Albert M. Toney III with sexually assaulting a teenager in the locker room at the Y. The 17-year-old claimed that Toney came up from behind him, grabbed his buttock, and pressed himself against the teen without the alleged victim's consent. Toney, the first openly gay candidate to run for city council, is slated to be arraigned on July 26th.
In world news, in England, Mark Malone, 33, attempted to have his sentence for murdering a gay man overturned, but it was rejected. In 2008, Malone was sentenced to a minimum of 30 years in jail after being found guilty of murdering Jeffrey Akers, 50, by stabbing him with a carving knife. Malone contended that his conviction was unsafe, but Justice Madison at the Court of Appeal ruled that there was no basis for Malone's conclusion.
By a vote of 33 to 27, Argentina's Senate voted to legalize same-sex marriage, making the country the 10th in the world to do so. The bill will bestow equal rights upon gay couples, including the right to adopt children. The measure also changes marriage laws to refer to the marrying parties instead of men and women.
South African Caster Semenya won her 800-meter sprint in Lappeenranta, Finland, her first race since being cleared for competition after having to undergo gender tests.
65% of those polled in a survey of gays and lesbians in England feel that tennis is the most gay-friendly sport. Rugby scored 29%, with soccer coming in at 6%.
In entertainment news, Real Housewife of New Jersey Danielle Staub, who has a sex tape out and who is suing fellow housewife Teresa Giudice for an unrelated reason, is reportedly dating Lori Michaels, a lesbian singer-songwriter. Staub recently performed her single Real Close on Bravo with Michaels while gazing deeply into each other's eyes, and they have gone out to parties. Staub is the second housewife who has a girlfriend, following Real Housewife of Atlanta Kim Zolciak, who recently dated DJ Tracy Young.
Reportedly, a guy is set to come out of the closet next season on the TV show 90210. Either Teddy, played by Trevor Donovan, Liam, Matt Lantner, or Navid, Michael Steger, will acknowledge his love of men. Steger has played a gay hustler on the HBO series True Blood.
World Cup soccer player slash gay icon Cristiano Ronaldo, played for Portugal, was recently seen partying with openly gay former NSYNC member Lance Bass in New York City. Ronaldo, who's 25, arrived in the city with his girlfriend, but later went out without her and with Bass, who's 31. Ronaldo has been the subject of gay rumors, but he has said, "I'm at ease with my sexuality, so it's not a problem for me."
Logo has announced it has acquired the off-cable syndication rights to the dramatic series Nip Tuck in a 4-year licensing agreement, which includes all 100 episodes of the award-winning drama spanning 7 seasons. Nip Tuck will start running in October with 3 consecutive episodes running one night per week.
Actor Hugh Jackman auctioned off a chance to work out with him for $20,000. Jackman, who is gaining 20 pounds of muscle for the movie sequel to Wolverine, will donate the money to New York City's Summit School for Children with Learning and Adjustment Challenges. By the way, he had agreed to work out shirtless for $5,000 more. Such a bargain.
Such a bargain. Couldn't have been a gay man. But definitely a gay man. Singer Clay Aiken is available again after splitting from Broadway star Reed Kelly. Aiken and Kelly reportedly began dating soon after the American Idol alumnus came out in 08. Hilton wrote that Kelly had changed his MySpace status to single and that he was listening to the Christina Aguilera song, You Lost Me.
Well, I'd break up with him too if he was still on MySpace. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. Any movie with Alice Krieger and Alfred Molina as the villains is worth at least a cursory look. And that The Sorcerer's Apprentice, a fantasy film from Disney, doesn't completely utilize them is a strike against it, but hey, at least they're there. So are a long-haired Nicolas Cage as a centuries-old wizard named Balthazar Blake, one-time student of Merlin, and Jay Baruchel, sounding more than a tad like Christian Slater, as the physics geek he takes on in his quest to defend New York City from a pastel of bad magicians, including Molina and Krieger, once they are freed from an ancient vessel. Cage must train the Nebbish, who he deems is the one, to take his place. But Nebbish only has eyes for a pretty blonde classmate who has a radio show at the college. All the better to stick in a batch of song montages, something Disney loves. And gets to say all the snarky, jokey stuff the audience is thinking about. The dour Cage, who natters on about rings and dragons and other ancient stuff. Nebbish also gets to comment during the action sequences, a pint-sized Bob Hope or Lou Costello in their prime. This device, nearly as ancient as Merlin himself, works thanks to Baruchel's comedic timing. Less persuasive is a live-action recreation of the classic Sorcerer's Apprentice sequence from Fantasia, mainly because it feels wedged into the action, breaks the flow, and feels tossed in out of duty. But that's a minor bump in the road for this likable little movie. Directed by John Turteltaub, responsible for the fleet-footed National Treasure pictures, The Sorcerer's Apprentice is at last delightful Saturday matinee fantasy action fest that kids and adults with a kid sensibility like myself have been missing this very hot, long, dry summer. Brimming with much more vitality and creativity, not to mention Cage having a hammy good time, than, oh, say, Prince of Persia, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, and the stilted Clash of the Titans. The Sorcerer's Apprentice is a lively, diverting fantasy. So the movie is magic-like rather than magical, and is, to be honest, on the thin side. It cast enough of a spell to keep me entertained. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
I'm Amy Armstrong.
I'm Freddie Allen.
And you're listening to WindyCityQueerCast.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
queer,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 19th, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Based on the acclaimed novel by Timothy Finley, Broadway writers Neil Bartram, Brian Hill, and the American Music Theater Project at Northwestern present Not Wanted on the Voyage. Don't miss this darkly funny musical that reimagines the Great Flood, an epic production complete with rain, fire, magic, and a score from an award-winning creative team. Tickets at notwantedonthevoyage.com. Playing now through August 8th at Northwestern's Ethel M. Barber Theater.
Piven Theater presents the Chicago premiere of Sarah Rule's Late, a cowboy song. Late is the story of one woman's search to find true love after she meets a female cowboy in the outskirts of Pittsburgh. Playing July 26th through August 29th at the Piven Theater, visit piventheater.org for tickets and information.
The new play, Fucking Men, observes the lives of 10 gay men from all walks of life as they negotiate the before and after of lust, love, and the pursuit of sex and emotional connection. Now extended through August 8th at the Theater Building, visit fmenchicago.com. That's fmenchicago.com for tickets and more information. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead, you're not alone. Post a comment.
I am here to tell you we can never meet again. Simple, really, isn't it? A word. And then a lifetime of not knowing where or how or why or when you think of me or speak of me or wonder what befell the someone you once loved so long ago.
So the former Bailiwick Theater, I guess that was their former
Bailiwick
official
Repertory.
Bailiwick Repertory, now has a new vision, a new collection of artists, some old, some new, but a renewed energy and spirit, I guess one can say, with the loss of the Bailiwick Theater Building. They have now become an itinerant company of artists, all moving toward retaining some of what Bailiwick did for many, many years and expanding on that vision. And I wanted to just talk about that because as they've launched, this new Bailiwick Chicago has launched two productions that have just been taking Chicago by storm.
At the same time.
Fucking Men and the musical Aida are both running here in Chicago, and I just think it's interesting to kind of look at a company that has meant so much to the GLBT community and kind of talk about where it originated from and its roots and where it's going in this new vision. So I called my good friend Scott Ferguson, who is
Hi.
A famous director about the U.S. and especially here in Chicago. Many of you, if you're fans of mine, know Scott from Xena Live Episode 1 and Xena Live Episode 2. Xena Lives, the musical. And so he is the director and the vision behind everything that is happening in the world of Aida. He's also an ensemble member, a member of the collective here at Bailiwick Chicago. So thanks for being on the podcast.
I'm so happy to be here.
Have we ever done a podcast together?
No, never. I don't know why.
That's just wrong.
I think maybe there was a phone interview at one point for something, but
probably
I don't remember.
Maybe when I was on the radio, but
that
we haven't
be.
Done
that
this
be.
Little like technology of us
I
walking
know.
Around and
it's
and
so hip.
You can just do it from anywhere.
I
so
love
we're
that.
Standing on a hot street corner at on Lincoln Avenue, which makes it sound like we're actually Alexander Billings, but circa 1985. Sorry, Alex. This show we're just really giving Alex.
Show
some
us your
dirt.
Tits.
Yeah, show us your tits. Alex will be at the Feinstein's August 20th. See, we've given you a
there
plug.
You go.
She doesn't care. No, but so welcome to the podcast.
Hey,
thanks for doing this. So tell me, I mean, what do you think how do most people, when they hear Bailiwick, you know, what has kind of been the history of that company and what has that company meant to the GLBT community?
Yeah, one of the great things about the original Bailiwick Repertory is that they did start what David Zack called
mm-hmm.
the Pride Fest.
Right.
And Pride Fest was, you know, something that originally happened just around Pride during, you know, the month of June or
mm-hmm.
July. And it sort of grew and took over. And by the last, you know, final years, the Pride Fest lasted almost the entire year, which was
mm-hmm.
kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. And what was Pride Fest about? It was a lot of new work, right?
It was.
Primarily?
Most of the time it was about new shows, but not always. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, for example, I directed A Man of No Importance,
mm-hmm.
which was, you know, not so much. But it...
But it gave a place for solo performance
absolutely.
Artists, gay,
they did all
GLBT,
kinds of stuff.
And,
yes, exactly.
And definitely... Bailiwick got put on the map in the past decade by Naked Boys singing and singing
which
and singing
ran
and
forever
singing
and
singing,
ever,
singing.
Yes, and
right?
Ever.
And then Naked Lads, was that
it? Naked Laddies or Lads.
Naked Lads on the Beach or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Party, I think.
Party was a Bailiwick production as well.
A big production that in the 90s, I think, was a huge production for the GLBT community. And it went on from Chicago to New York and had a really successful run there.
Yeah.
Now, Bailiwick also was kind of this home on Belmont.
Right.
You know, where all of this activity and where other companies could kind of come in and utilize those.
There were three spaces, and David did use as a rental as well. Mm-hmm. So there were other companies that did collaborative performances with Bailiwick as well as just rented the space
right.
as well. Yeah.
And, of course, you know, many artists came in. They had a very strong, or and you know, I'm sure still do, strong relationship with Larry Kramer.
Uh-huh.
Had done stuff. Every year they had the awards as well, where they honored activists and allies.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
So Terrence McNally and
that was called. It's called the New Vision or
I think
Vision,
so.
Something like that. I can't remember. Yeah. I'm embarrassed.
But that's you know.
But yeah, they did. Zach created that award where they awarded some member of the gay and lesbian community that had done something you know very forward and moving the cause or whatever for some whatever reason.
Greg Louganis, I remember him performing there with Alexander Billings, and then I also remember the porn star. God, I can't remember his name in the overalls. He came to my
studio
and
they did a play with him.
I cannot remember.
Show Does It All For You.
Or something.
Whatever his name was.
Yes. I remember people being very shocked and surprised that me, a lesbian, got to interview him in a studio face to face, and it was lost on me. I had no. Why can't I think of his name right
That's
now?
Hilarious.
I'm such a bad lesbian that loves porn, you know? Now that the kids are all right, have like outed that like lesbian
totally
couples like gay male porn.
Oh, my God.
Lisa Chodolinko, you've let the cat out of the bag, and for some reason I can't think of, or you've let something out of the bag. I can't think of what his name
either. I'm not a porn fan.
Yeah. You guys will post me on your comments and let me
there
know.
You go.
But, and you know, Annie Sprinkle came to town. A lot of Holly Hughes.
Yeah, there's a big history at Bailiwick.
John Fleck, Tim Miller. I believe they all performed performed at the Bailiwick. So what is this new Bailiwick Chicago?
Well, basically what happened was, you know, David Zach was with the company, founded the company in, I think, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And it was so it really had a huge history, like we were just talking about, in the city of Chicago. And he had just reached a point. David had some health problems for a while, and then he got better. And I think he just reached a point where he just said, you know, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I just want to retire from this now.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of us, Kevin Mays being sort of the leader of that, the instigator, called me up and right away and said, you know, David's going to let Bailiwick go. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, and I don't want to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't either. What does that mean? He's like, I think we should start a new company and keep what was good about the company in its past days and build off of that, but then change it and make it our own force to be reckoned with. And so we reincorporated. Bailiwick folded. Bailiwick Repertory is no longer.
Right.
And we have a brand new 501c3 not-for-profit theater company called Bailiwick Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a collective of artists. So we're running it kind of it's a model similar to the original sort of Looking Glass format of a company where it's a group of people. Kevin is the executive director and Kate Garasino is the managing director. But other than that, it's a group of 14 artists that literally we get together on Saturdays and plan for a couple hours and do meetings. And it's a group of artists that work together to do the company, to make the company. So like one person, Kevin, for example, doesn't choose the season. There's a team of artistic the artistic leaders that actually will choose the season and things like that. And then there's a group of, you know, the technical people, and there's a group of the marketing people and all that stuff, and everybody has their own part of it. And it's really a fun model. Right?
Yeah.
We're really enjoying it.
Now, is this a group of artists that is really diverse in terms of what their artistic talents are and gender and sexual orientation and all that?
All different kinds. We have made it in our mission, you know, our mission statement talks about catering to all different types of people. And it doesn't necessarily mean gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgendered specifically. It just means all types of people. So we're mm-hmm. really trying to focus on, of course, that's such a huge part of the original Bailiwick.
Right.
LGBT is going to be a huge part of our mission as well. But, for example, AIDA, we really wanted to try and touch a community that is not represented on the north side of Chicago as much as it is in other places in the city.
Right.
And so we try to do...
That being the African-American
community. We also have, you know, a very diverse cast. It's not just African-American. It's mainly African-American, but we also have a Puerto Rican, a Filipino. So we're trying to really branch out.
You have a white girl. She can sing some high notes.
We got some white girl and a white boy. One white girl, one white boy.
Yep.
The rest are African-American. But it's such a fantastic group. And then the collective itself is the same way.
Represents that as well.
We also have a team. So we have the collective, which is, I think, 14 people. And they're the heads of the company. And then we have a group of artistic associates that's really large. It's like, I think, 20 to 30 people that are also the support underneath that group. So it's a very diverse group.
So let's, I want to go to the two shows, but before I do, I want to just talk to you because you are such a workhorse. I mean, you seem to be, you're just directing two things simultaneously all the time. You're an openly gay man. You know, you and I have worked on some pretty, what I would call pretty queer aesthetic shows. And you know, you have a mastery around musical theater that is earned from your hard work, but also just your point of view and what you bring to it. Where do you think we're going now with GLBT theater? Is it becoming in the age of Glee, in the age of, you know, we're not doing AIDS plays really anymore?
Right.
Do the same musicals still work as we're moving into more of a pop rock kind of generation of musical theater? I mean, what are you excited about for us as GLBT people in the world of theater or musical theater or both? Let's start there.
Yeah, I think you're tapping into something that's really sort of very cool just within the last 10 years, I believe, like you mentioned Glee, for example.
And that's in the past 2 years, a year and a half.
And this movie, The Kids Are All Right, that just came out, for example. I think it's easy to say, but I really do believe it's true that it's becoming just more mainstream and accepted to watch gay and lesbian or whatever people in the world in a normal setting.
Right.
So it's not so much the plays like an AIDS play that we as an audience feel distanced from.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, we're getting more and more stories of just actual, real, true people, and everyone's going to see that and enjoying it.
Right. So there's an identification that's happening, you're saying, as opposed to maybe straight people or people not living with HIV/AIDS watching as voyeurs experiences.
So I think it's becoming a little more wide open.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Bailiwick, the former Bailiwick, for example, used to do this Pride Fest, which was really catered toward the GLBT community. I mean, it was plays for them.
Right.
Whereas we are going to tell stories that we hope everyone will come see.
Right.
That will have, you know, themes that might be considered gay or lesbian or whatever, but that we are certainly, and a perfect example is Fucking Men that's happening right now.
Right.
Women are loving that show.
Yeah.
Because it's about relationships. Yes, it's a bunch of gay men, but it's about relationships and the you know, trials and tribulations of being in a relationship with someone and what that entails. And I think women identify with that just as much as gay men do.
Yeah.
And it's just becoming a little more easier to go see theater no matter what it is. So.
Do you think that there's a fear, and I have not seen Fucking Men yet, which I'm going to see. Guys, it is extended through August 8th, so strongly encourage you to go and see it. But are we a little worried because, you know, I went to New York, I don't know when it was, like 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, and Kelly and I saw another show that Elton John at least has put his name and his money behind, which was Next Fall.
Right.
And I really felt like that play was a play, if you've never ever thought about homosexuality and Christianity for straight people, and it was really watered down to me, and I thought, ooh, this is going to be a problem if this is where we go to try to tell our stories. And so I just wonder, you know, with this new era that we're talking about, you know, there's this dichotomy of like, okay, Glee having some really heartfelt honest, you know, moments.
Sure.
I'm mentioning Glee just because it's the most mainstream of what we would be talking about. But then we have a play like Hedwig. Are we going to be in the era of having another Hedwig in the Angry Inch? Are we going to have the play, you know, even in its own right, Rent?
Yeah.
You know, are we going to have the play that's going to have, that really, I don't want to say pushes through our agenda, because that's, I think, a real 80s, early 90s idea.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really going to force people to sit with their bigotry, their fear, their ignorance.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think
about
that?
I think
do you still find that stuff that's being done, I guess, is relevant and evocative enough for us, as opposed to for just the mainstream coming to us, which I think is essential.
Yeah.
Like, our allies are going to change this movement, but, you know, is there within still, and Fucking Men may be this. I don't know this, because I have
not seen it. It's
interesting.
Well, wait till you see it, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to hear what you think about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, because I haven't seen the show in New York that you're talking about this. I can't really, you know. I am sure that there is a voice, and I find this, you know, for example, working in on AIDA, I have this group of young artists that are coming up from college to
They're so perform. Good.
They're
so
fantastic.
Hungry and great and open
exactly.
and passionate. And
I can't help but think that there is a voice out there somewhere that's just going to explode onto the scene. And that show is somewhere. Mm-hmm. It may not be happening right now, but I think the doors that are opening right now in terms of allowing these kinds of plays to happen in a more commercial way is going to open the way for that voice to happen.
Yeah, I think that's our Gaga voice that's starting to
there
come
you go.
Out.
Exactly.
I mean, it is true.
Totally
we are.
True.
I mean, with all, you know, and I said this to somebody because somebody said to me, you know, what do you think of Glee? And I'm like, I love Glee. I normally fast forward through most of the musical numbers.
Yeah.
But the book work to me is actually really great.
There's some great stuff.
And
in it.
Especially around the Kirk character and really how they're talking about that and the stillness they give it and the space they give it, I think is amazing. And I just, you know, and I know I'm preaching to the choir with you, but, you know, I hope that as we, you know, I think Lisa Chodolenko did this really well with this, The Kids Are All Right. It's that, you know, we are not watering down the message of who we are while we tell people we're just like you.
Sure.
You know, and at the same breath we're saying, but we don't have the same rights as you.
Right.
We can't, we do get bullied in a different way at school.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't legally married, though this is a movie, a story you're getting to know and we're sending our daughter off to college,
right,
who we've raised for 18 years.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it is essential that our theaters continue to reflect that. And I think theater's always been ahead of the grid.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's my point being that I made earlier about how this is sort of opening the doors to the mainstream. I think that is absolutely key to pushing that agenda that you're just talking about.
Right.
If there is an agenda that we're trying, that we have to push, one of them is absolutely the equal rights. For example, the marriage rights. You were just talking about Argentina, for example.
Yes.
Well, I can't help but convince myself that by having people come to shows that are straight and seeing Glee or seeing these shows, that if anything, it's opening that window in their heart.
Yeah.
So that at the next election, they're going to actually think twice about saying no to something.
Yeah.
But actually going, they're just human.
Yeah.
Or they're, you know.
Yeah.
That's where we are in terms of our fight as a group as an identity.
Well, and it's true. You know, I just did a podcast a couple weeks ago with another company that you and I are both involved with about FACE and with our youth theater, and I think that's where we're seeing. And I think you're saying that too with the young people of even this cast of AIDA, which is not a gay play or a gay story.
No.
It is about differences and feud. I mean, basic Romeo and Juliet, but the feuding is people who don't understand one another, who think they're different and they're the same, you know. But, you know, the youth theater show, I think, doing a lot of that. You know, interesting gender roles that my partner Kelly is doing up at Piven Theater, Sarah Rule, who constantly seems to explore in an interesting way sexual fluidity and gender, you know, in late A Cowboy Song. So it's interesting that this city continues to ask those questions.
Yeah.
So talk to me about AIDA. This was a great experience for you. I mean,
I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had a great time.
And you have gotten the reviews of a great
fantastic
career from Tribune, Sun Times, Time Out. Everybody raving about the show, and I believe the Tribune said, you know, it didn't work on Broadway, and this might be an idea for them, way Scott Ferguson has done this, to have it be a revival.
Inspiration for a Broadway revival.
There you go. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Cool. What do you think makes this production work for you?
Well, one of the main things, and I think probably what Chris Jones is referring to specifically, is the way that we cast the show as very, very heavy African American, and that, you know, traditionally in the sort of Disney theatrical production, in the original production, Radames is white, very white, and Aida is Nubian, and so there's a big, you know, racial thing going on. That would be black. what we did, and you know, I worked with Lillianne Brown is actually who started it. She's the casting director for the show, and she said, you know, Egyptians were all on the continent of Africa. They were all dark-skinned. Yeah. And many people believe that actual ancient Egyptians were much darker-skinned than they are today.
Right.
And so she was like, what do you think about that? I was like, I love it.
Well, and there's a whole conversation, which, of course, we're two white people having this conversation. Yeah. There's a whole conversation of skin color within the African-American community. Yeah. And really interesting that, that you know, Nubian people would be darker complected
skin.
And perhaps Egyptian people would be a bit fairer.
Right. But still of the same race, basically.
Yeah.
So we went with that, and
it's kind of across the river Israel-Palestine kind of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know? And so I think that has really struck a chord with at least a lot of the people that have put out reviews. It has been mentioned multiple times that people said that was a very inspired and good choice to have made for the show, and it gives it a whole new life.
Well, and also what I know from you is that you're a dancer choreographer, and I did learn how to do Drive That Car from Scott Ferguson while we're singing, like, you know, River Deep, Mountain High, and other songs Xena Live. But you really went to work with some people to... The show to me just has a tactile quality about it that I really love. Even though it's got a lot of flash and a lot of lights and a lot of sets and costumes, that's brilliant too. Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't want to spoil the genius way that you got like six brilliant, extravagant runway costumes, but people should come see that. But it has an earthy, organic texture just to the feel of the show. What was the inspiration for that, and who did you work with?
Part of our mission statement as well, part of our goal as a company at Bailiwick Chicago, is to always, with every project that we do, try and find another non-for-profit company of some sort in the city of Chicago to team up with, to work with in some capacity.
Not always in a co-production way,
but just to share
resources.
Work. Right. So it may be something where we work with a group, you know, like a museum, for example, that has some sort of historical significance to the play that we're doing, or whatever.
Right,
it doesn't matter.
Right.
And it can be anything.
Yeah.
Well, for this...
It's a great idea.
Yeah. So for this, we decided to go to Deeply Rooted Dance Company, which is a modern dance company here in Chicago, African-American dance company, and Kevin Ayega Jeff and Gary Abbott are the co-artistic directors of that company, and we just went to them and said, hey, we're doing a production of Aida. You want to choreograph? And they said, we would love to.
Wow, so, and they have put some great movement on these women.
And they actually brought with them six dancers. We had auditions down at their at their space, and six of the dancers in the show have worked with them before. Actually, three of them are in the company right now.
Oh, wow.
And so, they brought with them just this real authentic sensibility. Mm-hmm. They're not musical theater choreographers. They don't choreograph shows.
Yeah.
So they came at this project with a very open mind and a very much a storytelling sensibility, which was just such a perfect pairing for the show.
Well, and it's so nice. Great. You know, you start using those elements so early on.
Yeah. That sort of African feel, it gives it real authenticity.
And really because this show doesn't is a show that is connected by a lot of pretty powerful big numbers as opposed to a lot of recitatives or things like that. And so what I really saw was the movement being the thing, too, that really propelled the story forward.
Right.
I loved the washerwomen. I thought
that was beautiful.
The use of breath, the use of movement, the use of prop, just so amazing.
Yeah,
well, it's going to be a great run. How long are you guys running for?
We run until August 1st.
August 1st.
So it's a short run. It's going to have a couple weeks left.
Can you extend?
So come check it. We cannot extend here because we are at the ATC American Theater Company, which has a season. And so we are done here. There is talk about possibly moving it to another space. We'll have to see about that. I don't know.
Well, everybody run, don't walk to go see Aida.
Because it might not go on, kids.
And Steven Rader and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And and then also Fucking Men, extended through August 8th.
Right.
That is playing where?
Great show. That is at the Stage 773, formerly the theater building on Belmont.
Okay. Okay, great. And that just announced an extension through August 8th. So see Aida first.
There you go.
Then go see Fucking Men.
There you go.
And Fucking Men, as you said, straight women are loving it, but the gays. It is a play for our community.
It's great. And there's some nudity.
And there's some nudity and there's
and
some cute boys.
There's some cutie boys in it.
Well,
for sure.
Bailiwick Chicago, it's they have definitely put their stake down. And when will you all be announcing next season for people who might want to get on board with what you're doing in the upcoming season?
Our goal is to announce the new season by the end of the run of Aida. So within the next couple weeks.
All right.
That's the goal.
That's exciting. Well, thanks for being with us. Congratulations on the awards and accolades. Love you too. And we'll be seeing a lot of Bailiwick Chicago, but we haven't talked about them for a really long time. So it feels really awesome to have you guys on and continue to break legs. Everybody go see Aida. We'll have in our show notes, we will have the Bailiwick Chicago website linked so you can go right through there and get your tickets for the show. Everybody stay cool. If you don't know somebody, if your house doesn't have air conditioning, go to a bar, pick up somebody who has air conditioning, and go have some good sex with some air conditioning. That's what I recommend after a cocktail.
That sounds good right now.
Let's go. You want to get one?
Let's go, girl.
All right. Everybody have a good time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.